exactly.
I'm always the L shape.
Alright, let's go.
That is not L shape.
The L bottom is down here by my deck. It's a morning wood joke!
If you're a T block, then.
Yeah, yeah, you're the fucking T block. You're just straight piece with.
Don't forget, palm my don't forget, palm my dick sir.
Okay.
Oh, man, we're going to have some bloopers on this one.
Yeah. Sorry, this needs to happen.
David, save that beginning opening dialogue just for future use.
Cold opening.
Brent, send me a thing. Wait, so if every guy in the world gets morning wood, and we have time zones, is the world just constantly doing a boner wave?
Damn it.
Shit.
It's just a really slow boner wave.
Cue the roll call, please.
No.
For the love of Christ, cue the roll call.
We're live! Watching all the anime. Redcaster, Joe Raven.
Equipment wielder. Bluecaster, Ishida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material. Greencaster, Zenshi. Actually white. Blackcaster, Ransack.
Loyal and loud.
Pinkcaster, Lightred.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Zeta. Cast Ranger on air.
Welcome to episode 18 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Crap, it's been 18 episodes, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm back! I'm sorry, guys, I thought I could take Metrolinx on my own again, and I got captured again. I'm sorry.
Like,
on the way to your little date with your new boyfriend, you John Deere letter-leaving motherfucking Pink Ranger asshole.
No, that was the alternate canon. The letter didn't happen in this universe.
That was the movie. It was non-canon.
Yeah.
So I'm a movie character?
Yeah. We swapped you out with the series version, who's now, like, evil in the movie for some reason.
So I'm evil?
No, the series you is evil. Oh. You're the good one.
We ripped you from the... The good news is you've got the bitchin'-ass movie-exclusive morpher.
Indeed I do. I've got the special toy that everyone's gonna wanna buy.
And it's gonna be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. It's gonna be an exclusive. For about 3 months until it gets a retail release.
Yep. Gold player!
Somehow.
The
power of capitalism.
I don't know what it is with us and going to fight Metrolinx one-on-one. Eventually we need to just, like, show up as a team
eventually
to fight Metrolinx.
Yeah, eventually we need to be an actual Sentai team and just take them on together.
And then there will just be no Cast Ranger that week. David will just walk in with the mic recording and go, "Where is everybody?"
We do it as a radio show.
Yeah.
Yes.
He edits an hour and a half of silence.
He would!
Throw in some cricket noises.
And maybe a tumbleweed.
Yeah. Just every so often.
No, he'll do the entire Cast Ranger episode himself, so he'll just pretend to be us.
Oh, I'm Pinkcaster! I'm Pinkcaster!
That'll be all Pinkcaster has to contribute to that episode. Look at me! I'm a Pinkcaster! That's a really good point there, Pinkcaster. But I think what Michi was going for in this episode was that...
Is that him pretending to be me?
That's him pretending to be anyone.
Anyways,
what the hell are we on?
Anyways, on
to the we're doing an episode, right?
On to the actual point of the episode.
Yeah.
We're catching up on 2 weeks of shit.
Fuck. Yeah, so we were at Con
Bravo. There will be no special topic this week.
Yeah, fuck that shit. So yeah, we were Con Bravo last weekend, and videos of that are going up on the YXY channel. In the meantime, we're doing another double episode special like we did after Anime North.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Alright, so today we're talking about Gaim episode 37 and 38, and Tokyuger 20 and 21.
Yay.
I figure since we did normal Sentai Order last week, we'll do reverse Sentai Order this week. So Lane gets to start us off.
Okay.
Proceed.
Okay, so, Gaim 37 was pretty much, hey, go see our movie that's coming out in a few days.
Also, soccer!
Yeah.
World Cup!
So, one of my friends on Facebook actually saw the Gaim movie, and he said that apparently wasn't that good because they really play up the soccer a shit ton.
Because World Cup is going on.
Yeah,
no, but you know what? And thankfully, Japan lost pretty early on, so their soccer stars were perfectly available to shoot for the episode.
apparently, the guy from Tokyo Drift movies made number 4 in the box office, so it's not too bad.
Is that to say that the guy movie, from what you're hearing, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is a terrible shame if it's true.
You want, but.
Which is good why it's non, then it's non-canon, I guess.
Yes, yeah, the non-canonness so, of it does kind of ease my pain.
I was like, I guess you could say that was like their safety net. If it sucks, at least it's an alternate universe.
That's just it. It's like, I almost want to effectively render the All Riders movie for Gaim the movie in the name of, really hope they didn't completely and utterly fuck it up.
Yeah.
But, so, how pretty much Simpsons, like, it was okay, like, I didn't care much for it. I'm glad it was pretty much a Kaito-focused episode, because, like...
It was very much a Kaito-focused
episode.
Yeah,
it pretty much was a Kaito-focused episode, because... But it was just, it was a mix of different things. It kept going back from, like, Kaito being in the alternate world to Koda trying to get to Takatora in time to save him, but he kept getting interrupted by, like, this weird monster, and then Sago was just like, blah, 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 you're important, blah, 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 blah. But what I did like...
Accurate recap.
But what I really did like in this episode was that Kaido had a conversation with Sago, and Sago was just like, yeah, Koda's more powerful than you. I hope you know that. And Kaido's like, no, I can be more powerful than... Sagara's like, you want to test that? Okay, opens a crack, brings in Koda, goes full Kiwami, and he's like, alright, fight Koda at his strongest, see how you do.
The funny part of that was, like, he just brings in movie Koda, who just, like, insta-warps from, or like, he warp-evolves from fucking orange arms right to Kiwami arms, ignoring all procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, fuck it.
It's weird, though, because they said, like, in scans and, like, in information stuff that apparently the movie version of Kiwami was going to be different from the series version, but I haven't seen it.
That's what I heard. Apparently it's not true.
No, yeah, which is...
Maybe it has different powers of some kind,
maybe,
but it looks
kind of
identical.
But, just a quick note on Kiwami. They recently announced the figure arts for Kiwami and showed pictures, and...
Let the record show that Greencaster is currently fapping.
I don't collect figure arts. I want this fucking
beautiful
thing. Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
It has made me appreciate Kiwami's design like a shit ton. Now I love this form. It is fantastic. It's still not infinity, but it's still beautiful. What's up?
Yeah, I don't care. I still hate Kiwami.
I still have Kiwami. But anyways, we saw Mars, that was cool, but honestly, I don't care for soccer, I don't like soccer, this episode was okay, I'm glad it was non-canon, and it was just a tie into the movie, that's pretty much all I got.
Good summation.
Kevin!
Am I next? Is that how that works?
Can I just interject first?
Mm-hmm.
This episode didn't happen, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's my turn.
Permission to be on that train? No.
Nope, I'm getting out of here with all the trains.
Oh, fuck, you stole the
Brekker! Nori kae? Fuck that!
No. Jesus, oh my god, Tokyo Black, that would be cool.
Yeah, I
think. Anyway, I'm digressing, wrong show. I don't know, this episode was really dumb because it did a really awful job at trying to form a plot around trying to plug the movie.
Yeah.
It was really sloppy back and forth. We were like, we're doing the soccer thing. Okay, that's cool. So we're just kind of like, you know, setting up for what this movie is about in this alternate universe where... the Beat Rider competition is instead replaced with soccer. But it's like, then you cut to Kaido and Sagara in other parts of the episode where it's like, let's talk about, you know, how weak sauce you are and about how important this movie is and about how super cool everyone that's in this movie is going to be.
And meanwhile, Kota's running around doing plot.
Not really.
Trying to.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Koto's running around the entire episode trying to find the plot and failing.
Desperately trying to grasp at the plot, and it just keeps escaping him.
We just call this one Desperately Seeking Zangetsu.
Oh my god. But that's just it. It's like, Coda was both the most relevant and least relevant character in this episode.
He was the most relevant in the parts that he was not the focus for, and the least relevant in the parts he was the focus for.
Right?
How fucked up is that?
I don't know. For something this wacky, it seems incredibly appropriate. The one thing I thought was hilarious was just, of all the people who are so, fuck you, I'm brilliant McSauce at whatever it is I do, is no good at soccer.
Yeah.
In a world where your dancing competition has been replaced with everybody plays soccer, just kind of, by the way, I suck at this.
come on.
Just that, as soon as he
try
misses,
again.
Just right after he misses the kick and he just stands there, completely awkward, but still seeming to having it on his face that he's all that. Just like, yeah, maybe I meant to miss. How about that? Just
like, no, I feel like that needed the greed on Chime.
Never give up.
I just needed that. They should have just like snuck that in.
The other thing I noticed,
just have Jonouchi poke his head around the corner. Hey, you practicing?
The other thing I noticed was just, you had Bravo on one team, so then it was up to Team Baron on the other side of this whole thing. Just kind of looking at who's on the roster, see Zach in net, and I was like, oh, gee, I wonder where that could possibly go. For him to henshin into Knucklehead, I was like, that's gotta be cheating.
I know, right?
There's no way that's regulation that your goalie's mitts can be as three times as big as their head.
May I just say, he has a slight disadvantage because he can't actually grab.
He doesn't need to!
He just go bear!
Have you seen that guy operate lock speeds?
Their goalie can't actually grab the ball. He needs both hands.
Hold on. I watched that guy hold a sweet lock seed in the Karumi bomber.
See? No, that was my counterpoint.
Fuck,
he can grab lock seeds with a giant fist. Why not a soccer ball?
I was going to say, he can hold lock seeds and he can operate his belt.
I don't
fuck
think it's
any argument
I don't know
you have against he can't do this. Don't tell him what he can't do.
I don't know if it's actually magnets, because that would explain how he's ever grabbed a soccer ball, because there's no magnets in a soccer ball.
But if it's magnets, how do they work?
I don't know.
No, he tried grabbing the soccer ball, but the ball's force was so powerful, he's just...
No, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to. Can we just address how shitty of a goalie Zach is? Because A, when Bravo shoots the fucking durian shoot at him, instead of trying to deflect it or any proper technique, he just holds it in his hands and waits until it explodes on him. Instead of just going like, you know, tossing it forward or to the side or something.
Also, Baron,
I suck at soccer and I can do better than
also
that.
Also, Baron's kicks are kind of cheating because he's kind of poking the ball in the net with a fucking banana.
Yeah, fucking the banana curves around in the net, and I'm like, no!
I think we can officially say that the rules are bullshit because they allow the use of rider power-ups to do whatever the fuck they want.
Point.
Having said that, like, you know, despite everything, Zach still sucks at being a goalie. It's just kind of like, as much as I perceive that sort of thing as cheating, it's like, maybe he needs it. Maybe he needs big as shit gloves, because otherwise...
Because he sucks!
Because he's really not so good at that game. Which is weird, because it's just kind of like, you have big hands, that seems appropriate. It's like, well, it doesn't help if you can't, you know, stop stuff and deal with things that come your... I don't know, the whole thing is butt-fucking silly, just because you look at the whole thing and it's like, well, you know, he'd probably stop it if it were any normal-ass kick, but no, some supercharged rider smack via fucking Bravo. This whole, it's like Mario Strikers. It's just, it doesn't have to make sense for it to be a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 5 cents on this piece of uncanon garbo.
Yep.
Paul.
I didn't think it was garbo. I
got a mess.
It's non-canon as fuck. It's the Super Bowl. Like,
World Cup.
World Cup, whatever the fuck you... I don't fucking know sports.
I hate sports, and I'm still correcting you.
I don't give a shit about sports.
It's the World Series.
It's a big Series of Raya.
Big sports thing!
It's a big sports thing happening in the background. They decided to work it into the show in the movie. It's actually kind of creative, because let's not forget that this is a show about dancing and fruit.
What?
Within the first 10-ish episodes,
and
maybe.
This is an interpretation of what would be the first 10-ish episodes in an alternate reality of this show. So it's the early episodes all over again in terms of the silly and in terms of the focus on the dancing, if you want to call dancing the proxy sort of like side thing that they do.
Dancing/Invis game.
But it still involved the elements of the Invis game because they're using rider powers in order to play soccer. I thought that was pretty clever.
Which I also thought was interesting. The Invis don't exist.
Yeah, that too.
So
what Lock seeds in this universe?
But that's just it. They very much established we have the powers because reasons. We have no set objective as to what we're supposed to do with them other than play soccer.
Exactly.
I just wish I could be in, like, see who, when, and where do they conceptualize, you know, we're all playing the soccer thing, we should use superpowers, better at soccer. Not Zach notwithstanding. I just want to see the scene where they decided that using rider powers would be good for soccer.
Okay. That's fine. Shit, what was I about to say? I completely forgot my point. I had something on the tip of my tongue. Shit.
You were talking about how this is an alternate universe?
Yeah. I find it really, really interesting, and in this show, that this really caught my eye. Mars is in this episode, and he looks pretty cool. I got my first glimpse of Mars.
Yep.
He walks through that crack into a very, very devastated Zawame city. You saw like the ruins of the Yggdrasil tower. It looked a lot It looked a lot more gloomy. It looked a lot further into, say, the bad end of the story. Just say it's like a representation of the bad end. This is like the innocent one. Like the one that we're watching is like right in the middle of this thing. This world that he went to is sort of like an earlier interpretation.
It's like the movie before the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And
then the one Mars went in was the movie during the movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's the negative future. And this one's the bright and chipper sort of, there's no Invis in this one, but we've still got rider powers, and we're just playing a game about it.
By the way, I like how in the parallel universe, Hase was alive, but not Yuya.
Yeah. I liked a lot of things that they did in this movie. I agree that it was a mess in the fact that they should have just stuck with their guns and just sort of ignored Coda for a while. Because it was just a lot of running around doing very, very little.
Where's the plot? Exactly. No, they're out here somewhere. The plot's over here, maybe.
Where's the plot?
I gotta find the plot.
He's running around.
No,
find the plot. Find the plot.
Oh, he's desperately looking around for something to do in this episode, and that was a huge misstep because it really jarred from what they were trying to do. If they were trying to paint the idea that these are, like, recurring instances that happen in different worlds that sort of almost kind of link with causality, like, there's different endings to this story. There's different beginnings to this story. There's different middles and endings. One character was from a bad ending, this was a good beginning, and the show in and of itself is sort of the one that could go either way. And I thought that was really, really interesting. We could have done without the soccer stuff, and I understand why it was there, and I really don't think it should be in the movie. I absolutely do not think that should be in the movie. But these worlds should be. This whole split multiverse thing where... really, like, it's almost, like I said, representative of causality, that's an interesting thing to follow. It's just they threw a gimmick in there, and I don't think it's very good.
You know what I think about this? If the whole soccer alternate world had been just this episode and not the movie, I would have been perfectly okay with it.
Yeah. It's not a bad premise. It's just badly executed, and it's very clearly a commercial.
It shouldn't be the movie.
No, it shouldn't be the movie, and you shouldn't devote an entire episode to it. I'm sorry.
I don't even have a problem with the episode. Maybe the timing could have been better.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it as a self-contained instance.
That being said, As I said, I don't watch soccer. Sometimes I go out with my family because I am from a European family and we're very big on soccer over there. So it's just like, I support my team whenever I'm out with a beer with my uncle or my brother or anything like that, but I don't follow soccer. I really, really liked how much this episode likes soccer. I liked the cameos from the members of Team Japan. I liked the fact they gave him Hisatsu kicks.
Yeah, they gave him Ryder kicks.
They gave him Ryder kicks. I thought that was cute. It's a kids show, and that's really, really cool.
They brought the soccer stars. Freshly available, because they weren't playing any more games.
No, but now kids are going to go up to these two soccer players and be like, can you do that thing you did in Gaim? And they'll be like,
they can do the kick, they just can't do all the flashy shit. All that shit
but
was
the kids
them
will
doing
expect
soccer.
Them to do the flashy shit.
Kids aren't that dumb, dude.
And the ones that are, they're just going to respond with, sorry, I'm out of magic for today.
Exactly. There's an excuse for that. But this could have been... I agree. This episode was drastically imperfect. It wasn't a mess, and it wasn't a piece of trash or anything like that. But it was definitely mishandled, and it definitely could have been a lot better. It had some great ideas. I liked seeing Sagara doing something, and I like the idea that he's actually going up to Kaido and saying, you're cool in your own way, and I've kind of been ignoring you. I kind of feel like he's going to give him a Coda-style upgrade. Not a Kiwami, but he might give him a sort of, like,
I think it'd be awesome if Baron ended up with the Golden Apple Lock Seed. It matches him, too.
It does match him. I kind of see him getting, like, a sort of Kachidoki all his own.
Oh, yeah, that's possible.
I think that'd be cool.
As much as I encourage that sort of thing, the sad reality of it all is, I feel like with Kamen Rider as a story in which things are written the way they are, if there was any sort of thing that led us to believe that thing, it would have been exposed by now.
True.
True enough.
I feel like, as is the nature of Rider, we hear about the shit way earlier than it happens.
Well, maybe it is going to happen, it's just further down the road.
Further down the road than the final movie?
Well, not in the movie, but what I'm saying is, usually when there's like a new form teased, it's less than a month before it happens.
We've seen before in this show that the writers and the producers and the directors are playing Kaido very much by ear. They are very much going by the... He was a breakout sensation.
Well, now they are.
He was a breakout sensation. And so, yeah, a lot of this stuff would have been planned a lot... would have been revealed a long time ago if everything they intended for him to do was intended at the beginning of the show. They're very much playing him by ear, so I feel like, yes, they may have come up with some new things for him and maybe a new power-up, but because the idea is still just coming out of its infancy or it's still in its infancy, they're just waiting a little while longer.
Yeah,
If they weren't going to get... I'm sorry, Lane.
That's okay.
If they weren't going to have Sagara start giving him more attention, then they wouldn't have had him give him attention in this episode. They foreshadowed
are we really going to put any stock into this episode? The non-canon one, kind of?
I see anything Sagara does as the little glimmer of canon.
An entire
episode can be non-canon, but have a couple of things in it.
Yeah.
It can be mostly non-canon stuff.
Proof of point, all writers versus Dyshock.
Let's not forget that his stuff happened in the real world first. All the stuff I'm talking about happened in the real world first.
Yeah.
So it affects the plot line. This new world is the non-canon thing.
Yeah, it definitely is of note that Sagara is bothering to give a shit about Kaito at all.
Yeah.
But that's... Okay. Point number one. Sagara giving a shit about Kaito may not have been perceived as him giving Kaito a push in the right direction so much as, I believe it was, look how fucking strong Coda is. meant to give you more emphasis on Coda in the movie to come, to just kind of go, you know Coda is strong. Now look at him being fucking strong.
But how would you motivate Kaido in any other way?
It was all a dream.
I like how that whole montage of Koda's upgrades completely did not include Kiwami before shoving Kiwami in his face.
But that conversation... Yeah, that's true. That conversation with Sagara didn't happen in a dream, though.
It was in the real world.
It.
Yeah,
or maybe
it happened in the real world.
Well, the thing is, when you throw the it was a dream card on the table... Nothing's for sure. That could have been part of the dream.
I understand, but at the same time, I sort of see that as the last few real things that happened before he sort of got thrown into this whole thing.
But what happened that would have led up to him not dreaming?
He's...
When did he start dreaming?
When he got knocked out by Kiwami? I don't know. When he got kicked around by Kiwami, I guess?
Or did he?
We don't know. And that's
what or was he? Or was he suffering due to the pain from his wound and passed out on the park bench earlier? Then,
I don't think he would have dreamed Sagara in his silly collared outfit.
You know what? That's accurate. Because there's no way Kaito has seen Sagara in that outfit.
Fair point.
He wouldn't be giving him exposition either. Yeah. And my point still stands. What better way to motivate Kaito than to show him his limitations?
Yeah.
Also, since considering that he has gained a lot of popularity, I guess the writers thought maybe it was clever to make it, oh, Kaito may be dying from this wound he has.
That's
so that'll make the
character,
that'll make the fans go like, oh no, I gotta keep watching because I gotta see what happens to Kaito.
See, that's the thing. Kaito's path is now definitely going to be one of two things. He's either going to actually die so Kota can claim the prize, or they're going to find a way to save him using the prize.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of those two things.
And knowing the writer, well, his chances aren't too good.
Yeah, knowing who's writing.
We are talking about the Japanese George R. R. Martin here.
We are talking about the Ura Butcher.
Ura Butcher!
Have you not heard that term?
No!
How did we get this far and you haven't heard that term?
We've said it, he just wasn't listening.
Yes.
Anyways,
George L. L. Martin.
Still haven't watched Madoka!
Anyways, my point is, it was a really cool Kaido episode in disguise. I felt like he got a lot of really, really good theoretical development, if you guys will take that as fair. I still say he's going in a direction to the point where he's going to be getting something from Sagara. Like, Sagara is sort of looking at him and going, you're pretty cool too, but you're kind of in a faction all to yourself. You don't think the same way as Kota. And you two sort of make this sort of perfect person. Like, Kota's got the emotional strength, but he's got no gumption to actually do the dirty work. But Kaito has that strength to do the dirty work. So I feel like they make the perfect team. So Sagara is kind of trying to beef Kaito up and sort of push him to the point where he's going to work with Kota. And really, really.
Kachidoki Banana.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That would be neat.
Yeah. I'd buy the shit. I'd have to because it'd be essential in my collection.
Based on
banana mustache.
No, it wouldn't be.
It's got it. No, Kachidoki has the dadward mustache. She's gonna have the big fucking Poro handlebar mustache.
No. The thing is, based on how much Kachidoki was a super version of Orange,
mm-hmm.
Imagining what a Kachidoki version of Banana would be, I would totally be on board with that
mm-hmm.
because. Whereas Orange was a samurai and Kachidoki was a shogun, Banana was a knight, and it's safe to say Kachidoki would be like a king.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd have a Kachidoki. I don't think he'd have a Kachidoki form, because Kachidoki seems kind of unique.
Well, it is unique, but, you know, Saga would create him something of an equivalent.
Like, I feel, you know what? I like you. Something with a banana.
Grab a banana.
Take the banana, make super banana oxy.
Does something instead. Here, take this. I want to see where you go with this.
Exactly. Is that so hard to believe? Like, that's
no,
where
that's
I think
not
this
hard
is going.
To believe.
You know what it is? Because, like, the Gaim seeds are Japanese and the Baron seeds are, like, English,
yeah.
It would probably be called, like, the Victorious Lock Seed.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or maybe,
Valorous.
Yeah,
Valorous.
There you go. Or maybe, like, the literal translation of Kachidoki, Triumphant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
It's all cool stuff. It's not that bad. But it's the, honestly, this episode is almost a write-off. Almost a write-off.
It's a write-off.
Right, sure.
Into wow.
The sunlight. Right off into the sunlight. Into the sunset.
Thanks, Lane.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's you done?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We're still in the soccer episode?
I know, right?
Goddamn!
Let's go in
half an hour.
Shut up, it's my turn.
We had your points already.
No. Okay, so, the one thing that really bugs me about this episode is not even any of the alternate world bullshit, because that's, like I said, that's all well and good within itself. The whole ironically, the real world was the subplot this episode of Kota running around and fighting the fucking locust monster, grasshopper, whatever. I don't know what it is.
I need to find the plot. Stop getting in my way, you goddamn locusts.
That's literally what this was, and I thought that we could have done completely without that, and the episode would have been better for it. Mm-hmm. Like, 36 ends with Kota running to save Takatora,
freaking
and 38 starts with him reaching where they fought. This whole subplot, they were seeker swarms from Mass Effect.
I know.
And this whole subplot during episode 37 could have been 100% omitted, and the episode not only would have been at least as good, if not better. That said, I did enjoy watching this episode for its crazy, kooky, early episode hijinks. I like the fact that Kaito entered this world by being Kiwami shotgunned into the fucking soccer goal. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that should have caused some injury. You were not armored.
That's where dreams are.
Nobody gets really hurt by anything other than the villains in a rider show.
Speaking of things that should have hurt, Kota getting knocked onto that brick wall and then falling off it, that looked like it really hurt.
That would have broken his back.
I was going to say that thing where you don't take damage in a dream.
Well, no, Kota wasn't in the dream.
No, but in regards to your Kaito remark.
Yeah, yeah. For me, the best part of this episode was seeing Bravo wearing the fucking jersey on top of his pointy armor.
That looked so terrible.
Now, this may or may not come as a surprise to fucking anyone, but Bandai went ahead and made
soccer Bravo
merchandise for all the teams.
Oh, they actually released
you
the jerseys?
You can get its towels for all the teams, like just those soccer towels.
Yeah.
And jerseys for Gaim and Baron.
Just those two?
Yes. Those were the only two that got jerseys.
I wanted a Team Shadowmon jersey.
You can get a Team Shadowmon, like a towel banner thing. I thought that was so cool.
That's amazing!
I was just kind of like, that's authentic sports memorabilia for something that doesn't exist. Honore Bandai!
Yeah. So yeah,
thanks, Obama.
Like I said earlier, I think it was hilarious how
it's a completely different country. Leave Obama out of this.
In this continuity, America has been nuked.
Thanks, Obama. This.
Hey, North America got nuked.
Roshu Obama. Thank Roshu Obama.
Roshu Obama.
Thanks, Roshu Obama.
There's another universe out there. Roshu. Where Roshuo is the president of the United States and is also black.
of the United Canyon of America?
No, the United Ironies of America, dude.
We need to just refer to the entire Invis invasion from Helheim as Roshu Obamacare.
No!
No.
Obamacare's a good thing!
Absolutely fucking not.
And I'm sure Roshuo thinks the invasion is a good thing.
I better put them out of their misery right now.
You will not compare an apocalypse to free healthcare! No!
I will and did!
Overlord
Republican bastard!
Overlord conversion is mandatory. Anything else will be subject to punishment. Roshu Obama.
More like Billow Roshu
Lee
thing.
Good run. Good one. Good reach.
We are the Invest. You will be assimilated.
Way to reach for
resistance
the net on that
is
one.
Futile.
Billow Roshuo Lee.
No, the Invest is response would be more like.
Great rebuttal.
He makes some convincing points.
Yes.
One thing I noticed in particular, and this is me being finicky about boat mechanics and such.
Oh, here we go.
You notice how. Every time Kota uses Kiwami, sometimes all the fruits come out of one crack, and other times they all come out of individual cracks. Mm-hmm. A, why, and B, what determines which? I'd like to know.
It determines how much room they have in the special effects budget for the episode.
Also, space, where he is. Like, sometimes there's not enough room for a bunch of cracks to open, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. Let me just see what other things I have to talk about this episode. Oh, yeah, so we got another one of those fucking amazing Baron belt-switching bullshit.
Nope.
Love it!
Nope, we're not talking about this again.
Yay, belt-swapping!
Nope. No, I already said my piece on that. I just wanted to note that it happened again, and I'm angry.
Because it's fucking legit!
Speaking of legit, for once, we actually get to see a Genesis driver use the sparking function in Kaito using Lemon Energy sparking to fucking win the soccer game. And, no, it was to destroy the Locust.
No, another highlight for me quickly for this episode was just seeing, like, Zack was watching Baron fight or whatever, and Baron's just like, Zack, transform! And it's like, wait, we can do more than just play soccer?
Yeah, that part when Zack was like, you can use this to fight monsters? Just, like, blows his mind.
I've been playing soccer with this thing!
Guys, we can fight with these powers that seem really destructive?
I thought these were entirely for weaponizing soccer.
Maybe the sword and the belt should have been a clue.
That's for the stickball expansion. Sword in hand.
Yeah.
That's for the stickball expansion.
Well, Zax was the fists.
Well, yes.
And the last thing about this episode that I wanted to bring up was I started getting really curious about Mars because he's got the golden apple log seed, and I'm just wondering if that is the manifestation of the one of the fruits of knowledge or if it's just another piece of it like Kiwami is. I hope they address that at some point.
No, because like I said, one, like I was talking about earlier, or like outside, whatever, the golden fruit is that glowing fruit yes. apple thingy. Yes. That's it. No, so maybe, yes, maybe the golden and silver apples, maybe they are the golden fruit in full form, or maybe they are pieces. I think they're pieces.
If I may make a point right now, he's from a completely different dimension, completely separated from...
No, I know, and that that's why...
...of where they are.
That's why the golden Luxeed being the entirety of that world's golden fruit is a possibility, and thus why I'm questioning it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that is the best explanation for it, because he is legit from another version of Earth, which would have its own golden fruit.
Yeah.
And I don't think Roche...
We don't know if Roche exists in that universe.
Yeah.
But that would explain... That would mean that the golden apple Loxeed that he's using, which is from that world, could be the entire power of the golden fruit from that world condensed into one Loxeed.
What's interesting is, though... We have seen the golden fruit, and it is a freaking apple, and he pulls the thing out of it. It's not like a big thing that comes out of the
crack. No, it's like the big golden fruit.
What's interesting is, Roshuo has fused with his golden fruit. We know this. That's where he gets his power. It's not a lock seed. What's the difference between using it as a lock seed and using it as a part of you?
Yeah, it's actually a really good analogy to the whole... Using the lock seeds versus using the power of the fruit.
Like I said, the whole Overlord thing—they look like the guy. They look like the Rider forms. I think they're pretty much just fusing with a lock seed.
Yes. So Mars is
the golden fruit.
Mars is the is analogous to Roshuo.
Yeah.
As a user of the golden fruit.
But that's just it. It was by the means or by the ends of your means, sort of thing. Where it's like you say, you becoming one with the fruit was just. How that society dealt with how they handled the power, whereas Roshuo talked to Takatora about the technology. Oh, what is that? What's that you've got there? Oh, that's how you guys are doing things in this world? So it was enough for him to talk to Sagara and go, let me make a piece of technology of this world that is, you know, that coordinates with how you guys do things.
Yeah.
You give that to who it belongs to.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just kind of, well, you guys do these silly belt things? Okay, that's what this world's fruit looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Jesus, we've talked for 40 minutes about the soccer episode.
Can we move on? Yeah, fuck it. 38, okay. Let's get to the good episode.
Yes.
No points, Raven?
No.
I
said my piece.
Okay, Blaine, episode 38, go.
Alright, Kevin likes to disagree with me, but I like to assume that Takatora is dead.
Me too.
No!
Hey, fuck
I
you.
Feel
we like him more than you do, so you have no reason to go, ah, so
I
much.
Feel,
I will, ah, all I want.
I very much feel like he has served his purpose within the series,
yeah.
And thus it is entirely possible that that was him taking a fall.
Now, if he does come back alive, fucking awesome.
My... problem with that is I don't think, and you can...
It's really bad writing if he is dead.
I was going to say, that was, while you may feel it was about...
Somehow I feel like it would be worse writing if he comes back to pull a fake out immediately after another fake out.
It's Takatora, one of the most beloved characters of the series. It's Orobuchi. What an unfitting end. How drab, how... unflashy, how unimpressive that just him serving his purpose ends with going out like a bitch.
If it were me, I would have had him die the first time. If they were just going to make him a ghost to follow Michi around, that would have been better the first time. I wouldn't have brought him back just to kill him off.
But see, that brings me to my point. So, like, quickly, Michi's hallucinating Takatora now. And the amazing thing is, he's just the figment of Michi's imagination, but Takatora is more badass than he's ever fucking been. He's just like, you're my shadow, blah, 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 this, blah, yep. blah, blah, that. And I'm just like...
Yeah, but he did say that while he was alive.
Yes, he did, but he's emphasizing it more to make Michi more pissed off. He's like, without me... You wouldn't have gotten to this
far. I love
how
you're talking about him like he is a conscious thing now and not just Michi. But the thing is, he's talking about being a shadow and having more emphasis on it because that's what Michi is choosing to fixate on.
Yes, and but like I said, the way he's talking, saying it and shit...
Michi's idea of Takatora is more awesome than the real Takatora.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Paul speaks Lane. Yes. So, yeah. But anyways, yeah.
While I disagree with that statement as a whole, I do believe that Michi perceives his brother to be cooler than he is.
Yeah,
and that's why he wanted to kill him.
It's not that his hallucination version of him is cooler, it's that he imagines him differently while still being really cool.
Yeah.
Also, I know Ichi's gonna get into this quickly, but we do see Ryoma again, but they do fight, and let me just say, all of a lemon. She's got...
It becomes a lemon fight.
Let's just say the fight gets a little sour.
Oh!
Oh, God.
We got Duke Hashtag Lemon Energy Ichi Arms, fun. Banana Lemon Energy Arms, or Baron, Baron Lemon Energy Arms.
Banana Jimbo Lemon.
Hey, that banana lemon. Huh, that's interesting. And then Guy and Jimbo Lemon. So I'm like, wow.
This is the most citrusy episode I've ever seen.
Yeah. But,
Key Lime! What's next?
Oh, wow. Oh, also, the fact that, later on in the episode, you see Pekko and Mai, they're like...
Shopping?
Yeah, they still fucking pay with money. I'm like, fuck off! It's the end of... It's the city's demise. Just steal it! No one's gonna care! No
You're
one's
what's
gonna
wrong
care.
With society.
Sure. But, Michi, like...
Hey, we don't know if maybe they took that money from somewhere else.
Michi shows up and he's like, Mai, I want you to come with me. And she's like, no, you're corrupted, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll get this guy to fucking kill your friend. And I was actually hoping Pekko was gonna die there.
But then he couldn't Kurapekko.
He doesn't do that in the show!
That no. doesn't stop Hase.
He threw garbage at the canvas.
Or Yuya.
Actually, that's another thing to know. It's like, in the soccer episode, why didn't Hase have his belt? Or anyone else?
Because he doesn't in that universe.
It was just the team.
We're
going to
talk about that?
Ooh, Hase's love. Anyways. But the greatest shot for me in this entire episode was just, like, Mai going off with Michi or whatever. And then you just see, like, the radio on the floor, but on the ground, you just see Pekko's hand, like, slowly trying to reach towards that. You just hear him going, like, ugh.
When
I thought that was a really cool shot.
When I saw that, I was just thinking, that's what you get for slingshotting block seeds out of people's hands, you stupid fucking bastard.
No. Kind of bitched at him for that. He's like, stop it.
And he did it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he what the fuck did
and he
I say?
Continued to be an insubordinate fuck.
But overall, this was a really good episode. It's really awesome seeing Michi go completely fucking batshit insane, because you can tell. Also, me, Paul, and Kevin and Raven have all agreed that Gaim is the equivalent to the Dark Knight.
It's Batman.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Kaido is Batman, Ryoma's the Joker, Coda's Harvey Dent. Orin's Bane?
No, but I don't know.
We thought
Orin's the Riddler.
I find him to be Falcone, just the sort
Falcone.
Of like the grunt who's being manipulated.
Wait,
for the
you
bad.
Said Gaim is Batman and Coda is
no,
Harvey
Kaido's
Dent?
Batman.
Okay.
Coda's Harvey Dent.
Okay,
Two Face, because he either dies a hero
or
lives long enough to see himself become the villain.
Which is entirely lovely.
Also, Zawame City is based entirely geographically on Gotham City. I'm
Can we talk about that?
Totally, but not at all.
But literally, when Ryoma shows up, I just saw that scene from when in Dark Knight when Joker just, like, takes off his mask. He's just, hi.
No, but seriously, have we talked about that? The fact that Zawame City is actually point for point designed after Gotham City from
not
the Gotham show.
Quite.
Not point for
it's,
point.
It's the point was when they had the map that they were showing, like that little, we're going to lay out this map and plan out what's going on. It was a map of Gotham City. Yeah. Yeah. It's not so much that the city itself is there, it's that they took the map.
They used the map!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. If you look at these writings all around the map, it's got, like, shit that involves Batman. Like, just shit that regards and references Batman, and I'm just kind of like, someone had taken the image of the map and had zoomed in and did all the focusing on certain points of it, and it was just kind of like, talking about Gotham City behind the map sort of things. I was just okay. Like,
oh,
and
also,
stole the map.
I forgot Takatora is Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
They both fight for the good of the city.
And we're greatly deceived.
Greatly deceived.
Wait, does that mean Commissioner Gordon secretly is planning to kill 6/7 of humanity?
Not intentionally.
No.
Again, greatly deceived.
Does contribute to large conspiracy in the third movie. What with the Dent Act.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gaim's Batman.
Gaim equals Batman.
Overall, a good episode. I'm looking forward to seeing how things more progress more, especially with Michi now, because I don't know why, but seeing Michi going kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs is kind of making him more of an interesting character for me to observe in this show, because he was throwing papers at Takatora, who's not there, and right away it's just like,
Can they just release grape flavored Cocoa Puffs now?
As a counter argument, I feel like the way they've started to portray Michi is hilariously out of place.
Mm.
I feel like he's the right kind of crazy in the wrong atmosphere.
Absolutely.
I feel like he's going above and beyond. I feel like he could have stopped 5 ounces of crazy ago and still been getting the point across.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this.
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk about
this.
I hope Harvey's got good dental.
Ooh.
Anyways, those are my points. Keva?
Oh, I need points? What episode are we on?
38.
Oh, I'm out of the podcast. I don't have much to contribute, like, on the whole, as opposed to what we've been talking about already. The one thing I did really like was, I mean, I don't, have they done this before?
That one shot with Helheim into...
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
From Helheim to Earth, top down.
It looks so cool. I love that shot.
What it looks like of the fruit dropping into the real world, the human world.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I like
shot.
That.
Was like, a really inventive shot.
I was like,
why haven't we done that sooner? That,
I was just very, I looked at it and went, why is that the first time that's happened? That's, and then, of course, they do the polar shot on Ryoma's henshin, which I was just kind of like, see, that's, while being a polar shot, is incredibly drab and boring.
Think,
I've seen
know,
that a million
I don't
times.
Think they've ever done
like,
it
where they don't show the fruit coming out?
No, from
just
the bottom. It was from the bottom, and you just see it, like, you can still see Helheim, but it's just dropping in on him.
Yeah.
You know what I don't think they've ever done in a Rider show before, which would be cool? Just have a first-person henshin. So, like, have it done from the writer's point of view.
I think that's kind of what they tried to do with everyone's first henshin, where you see their faces in the fruit before the armor appears.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that.
Yeah.
But I agree that, yeah, a first-person henshin would be awesome. Although, it wouldn't really show too much.
Like, I think with Decades would be really cool, just because, like, you'd see, like, like the thing come and then you just see the barcode like lines
fly
in his face. But no, that's a quick point I mentioned that always bothered me. You notice, you know, when they show like the headshots or whatever and shows like must hurt for, you know, the helmet to form and then the fucking visor fucking falling onto their fucking helmet, into their helmets. Have you noticed that?
Oh, you mean when the
bag of
the
helmet?
Visor's
yeah,
gone?
That must hurt.
Unless
it's covering the fullness of the helmet.
It does go on top of the helmet.
Okay, because I saw that, because, like, I have the arms change Gaim figure, so when, like, he has, like, a half
his
helmet.
That's just for the sake of the figures.
Yeah.
It's safe to say that the actual back piece of the Gaim Rider's helmets, when it appears, it, like, through the power of magic technology, colors the actual visor.
But I see that, I'm just like, ow.
Yeah.
Ow. Anyways,
this is us with more belt talk.
Yeah, we love the Sengoku driver. It's a fascinating piece of technology. That's why we all own one.
Who are we on again?
Me.
Yeah,
so
we're
now moving to Paul.
Yeah, I believe it's me.
Changing lines to Paul.
Okay.
Well, you guys, eh?
Okay. Okay. First things first with this episode, because the very first thing I said, Ryoma, sweetie, honey, darling, what the fuck are you wearing?
I know, right?
What the fuck are you wearing?
That says no fucks given anymore. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Was the JCPenney's in the DigiWorld closed?
You look like a gay. You look like a gay elementary schooler. You do. You look like you. You
oh my
look
God,
like
that's
a,
exactly.
He looks like a. He looks like a gay elementary
he
schooler.
He is the most fabulous boy in the
He country. Looks like he's trying to be jailbait.
Honestly, the way he was dressed and when he, like, came in...
For
I was
dudes.
I was expecting him to walk in the same way, like, Sora did in Wizard, where he just had his hands behind his back and he's just skiffing gently, like, "Hi, guys! Yo. I'm back!"
Like, my Kevin had the best way of saying this. Sengoku Ryoma's back. That wasn't my first thought. It was... It could have been, oh, Ryoma's back, shit's gonna get real. Nope. Ryoma, what the fuck are you wearing? Take that off!
Where's your lab coat?
Jesus,
I
no!
I was honestly so off-put by what he was wearing, I forgot he'd come back.
Yeah!
Like, I was just kind of like, that shouldn't be the first thing. And I mean, I know it's Japan and their fashion is, well, important to them, I guess, but that statement wasn't cut. Like conveying that message.
Literally just like, honey, what are you?
Yeah, he
what
showed
are you
up.
Doing?
Oh,
what are you wearing?
Shit, that's the shit. Oh, I'm so sorry. Is that all you could find? Like, is that all you could buy on your scientist budget?
That's all that was open in the Digi World.
After you used your Willy Wonka Vader to
this
go off into
easy
the sky,
stealing
that was
shorts from a baby.
That was all you could do. Anyways, Ryoma's. You want to talk cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in this episode? He's fucking gone nuts. He's prancing around and he's just fucking like, "I'm going to take you all to Yggdrasil and I'm your only hope, so you have to trust me." And I'm just like, dude, tone it down.
I'm going to escort.
I'm
going to escort you all to the lemon party.
Tone it
down. And then Yoko does the obvious thing and just goes, "Sengoku Ryoma, we can't trust him." And I'm like,
no!
You think?
Oh,
thank you so much, Yoko. Tell us more.
Great contribution. We never would have known without you.
Oh, we can't trust Sengoku Ryoma, who dicked off in a Willy Wonka Vader? I will not let that go. Tell me again about all the things he's done.
Damn, do you look sexy in that white outfit.
The man whose idea it was to kill 6/7 of humanity?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not someone to trust.
Yep.
That being said, man, this entire, like, I keep forgetting things I'm going to say, but I just remembered it. Duke's shoulder pad, this just occurred to me right now.
It's on the shoulder, but sure.
Whatever. All of the Lemon Energy shoulder pad, single 90s shoulder pads, look like a giant golden boob. They look like a giant tit. And I'm
well,
just
it's
like,
the top of a lemon.
Yeah, I know, but it still looks like a giant tit. Anyways.
Is that really what you're going to fixate on?
Yes. Yes, that is really what I'm going to fixate on.
I was going to say, back. Paul fixating on tits? That sounds right.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, so we finally got to see a halfway decent Kota Michi fight in this episode. And Michi really needs to take that fucking armor off because he's really pissing me off.
I know, right?
It's getting insulting. Like, it's getting blood boiling, and I know that's the point.
Shit got insulting.
You gotta take it, like, take
shit
that
has
shit
been insulting for the last 5-7 episodes.
He won't because
right
Ryugen's shit compared to Melanin.
Like,
Darns.
Is the Ryugen belt just stashed somewhere? What's going on?
Yeah, he has now put his Sengoku driver where Takatora had his.
It's in that briefcase.
It's in that briefcase.
It's in briefcase X.
Exactly.
Right, that's what we forgot to mention. So, sorry, Paul. Quickly. I actually want them to release, a DX damaged Sengoku driver that comes with a damaged melon and a damaged Matsubakuri Lockstream.
Like, there are two versions of it. Hase's destroyed one and Takatora's destroyed one because they were
destroyed at different
angles.
But it's the locks. It's the belt that comes with two lock seeds.
It's like so how they released the DX broken Taka metal.
The DX Dead Rider set.
Okay.
Sorry. Continue.
Morbid.
Yes.
I know, right?
Yes. Japan. So.
They knew North America. Sorry.
On the subject of Michi, who needs to take that armor off and who got a really bitchin' fight this episode, I will say that. I love Ghost Takatora.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Not just for the reasons of Lane. Not just because he's basically walking up to Michi every single time he appears and being like, yo, bitch, he's still being a bitch? You sure like being a bitch?
Yeah, he is.
You sure like being a bitch, don't you? He's just telling him yeah, you know you're a fucking bitch-ass little cunt, right? You know you took a cheap shot at me, and that's why you're still here, right?
Goes away, comes back. Hey, bitch, just finished putting my dick in your couch. Bitch.
It's almost...
A ghost dick.
It's almost Shakespearean what they're doing here. It's some Ghost of Duncan type shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like they're showing some fucking hubris for him. Like, he's got some goddamn... Like, he knows he's being a little shit. Michi knows he's being a little shit, but he's done so much he doesn't want to admit it to himself anymore. That's where I think he is right now.
It's more a combination of I've come too far, plus look who... If I stray from this path, look who I have to fight.
Yeah, also, could he live with himself after everything he's done?
I'm pretty sure he gave up giving a shit about that as of episode 34.
He's sold out his friends, he's sold out his species, he's sold out his family... He's the Benedict Arnold of the human race right now. He is currently the worst person to ever exist. He can't go back from this anymore, and I think the whole Takatora ghost thing is a really great way for him to deal with that. I like the fact that Takatora is not just he's not just Takatora's shadow. Takatora is his conscience. He's his inner ghost. He's his inner demon.
That's a good analogy, I think.
Stemming from that, I think...
The real self.
I think they're going to use that...
Damn it! Shadow Michi!
Damn it.
Yeah.
Sorry, persona joke was made, itchy laugh. Yeah, moving on.
What you were saying.
I think that is going to be a golden opportunity for... While Michi's doing all this hallucinating, one day... He's gonna be hallucinating, and it's gonna be Takatora.
You mean through the hallucinations, Takatora will come back?
No! He will come back, Michi will perceive it as a hallucination, and Takatora will be, no, I'm alive.
Can you imagine?
Oh my god, that would be awesome!
Can you imagine if he's, like, in a draw-off with Takatora, and he's like, you're a fantasy, I'm gonna take care of you once and for all, and Takatora's just like, no, I'm not, I'm here.
Then
like, no, you're a fantasy.
And that's how he'll finally take Michi down.
Last shot!
Oh my god, that would be awesome!
No, what I think would be a really awesome shot is just, like, Michi's in his office or whatever, just sitting at his desk, and then he just sees Takatora walk in, fully henshin to Zangetsu, and then he's, like, so afraid. Michi transforms, starts fighting him, but then he just, like, snaps out of it, and you just see his office just fucking destroyed, because he just had an imaginary fight with someone who wasn't there.
At this point, that could very much
happen.
That'd
be awesome! I'd love to see
that. I like
that.
Where you're going with that, though. Yeah. I think that would be a great, fitting ending for Michi.
That's because I feel like they're really pushing emphasis on the fact that he sees him as though he were there. Yeah. Like clear as day, my brother is standing in front of me.
I hold fast to the idea that Urobuchi is a better writer than to kill someone, bring them back, two episodes later kill them again. I say he's a better writer than that.
And I say
well, it wasn't
that...
two episodes, but you know...
Whatever, it's a single-digit number of episodes in between that time.
And I say that, unfortunately, Urobuchi is confined by Toei's wishes. I'm sure there were numerous occasions where Urobuchi went, I'm gonna kill Takatora now, and they went, not yet. So Urobuchi took this as the opportunity to kill Takatora as many times as possible before something with him needed to happen.
No, you know what happened? He was bottling it up the entire time he was writing Guy. I'm like, okay, I can't kill that many people in this. I can't kill that many people in this.
Well, maybe.
And then he nuked New Orleans.
We'll ease it. How, like, okay, so I want to kill
people.
Does
he have a higher body count than George R. R. Martin?
Yes!
He does!
He destroyed North America!
We're all dead, you guys!
That's what I've been saying!
I'm sorry. He like, blew the shit out of North America off screen. He kind of snuck that one in there where it was like, oh yeah, you know all those missiles that were on screen?
Okay,
yeah, North America's
okay,
gone.
Hold on. That's his red wedding. Can you imagine? He saw the red wedding and said, psh, bitch, please.
I can do better.
In another show, the majority of the world.
Yeah.
He landed those things all over Earth.
Yeah, no, the only one they really showed in detail. Yeah, see, there's New Orleans.
There was New Orleans.
And it's gone.
See, the thing with Takatora's death is, I have faith that Urobuchi is a writer of enough caliber to not kill someone without a purpose.
Yeah.
The thing we don't know 100% about Takatora, if his purpose is actually fulfilled. I would say that having him die this way would be kind of appropriate in that through Takatora's death, Michi will slowly, as you've been talking about, will slowly start seeing the error of what he's done.
Oh, I don't think he'll ever see the error of what he's done.
No, well, it's a I still haven't written it out completely as a possibility, but maybe not because of Takatora's death, but that is, like, the top of the slide.
Okay, I disagree in the fact that I don't think he's ever going to try to reform himself. I think he's going to go down an asshole. I think he's going to go down thinking what he's always
This is going about. To end one of two ways, and the way you're talking about is very, very much the more likely way. Mm-hmm. I still think, because this is a writer show, that there is some small chance that they will be able to save him. I don't believe it's going to happen, but I haven't written it out as a possibility yet.
I don't know. Anyways,
if they do, it's going to be convoluted as fuck.
Yeah. Anyways, my final point was the fact that there's plastic furniture all over the place again, and it just got its shit fucked up like it always does. Like, again, it's plastic furniture in a Toei shoot. It's doomed. It is doomed. It's like... It has become acceptable to state that Toei is now the natural predator, or the Kamen Rider series is now the natural predator of patio furniture.
And that well-placed pile of garbage.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, that's me. The episode was great. They had a good fight. It showed some really cool things about Michi. It really put him on a really, really cool character path. He's a little too crazy Joker kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But he's still pretty... He's passable for where he should be in terms of what he's done up until now. He's losing his marbles.
Yeah.
Which only reinforces the idea that deep, deep down, he knows what he's done.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So I don't have too much more to comment on. I did very much enjoy seeing Duke return to the world of the living, whatever you want to call it, wherever the fuck he came from, the digi world up in space. I think one thing I thought was interesting was the fact that even though Kota is, like, pissed out of his mind because Ryoma's back and he's responsible for most of what's happened, he still isn't pissed enough to go straight to Kachidoki. Almost even insults him just by going to Orange, the weakest of his forms. It's like, you are the man responsible for everything. I hate you. I'm going to destroy you. Let me use my weakest form ever.
He went straight to Jimba Lemon.
No, he didn't.
No, he started in Orange.
He
went to Jimba Lemon afterwards.
Yeah, he did.
He was untransformed, trying to beat the crap out of Michi without transforming, and then immediately pulled out Orange
Duke,
and Lemon.
When the fight started with
Duke.
Ryoma.
Duke. I'm thinking Michi at the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Duke fight had the really, really cool
POV
shot.
Yeah.
like I said, I thought it was interesting that I hate you, weakest form. And when he was fighting Michi later, I noticed that, like, he was fighting and in Kachidoki, he dropped his flags, and I'm just thinking, Team Gaim, drop the flag!
If I make a quick comment about your weakest form comment, it's Kamen Rider Gaim. Yeah. Orange form is base form.
Yeah.
It's like always starting out in Katiba.
No, but I thought by this point we had evolved past that trope in the fact that we've seen him go straight to Kachidoki.
It's on the posters. It's all over the post.
I know that is the unquestionable reason why. I just thought within the context
of
the show.
As of late, he's always kind of started with what I think will get the job done, and if it doesn't, we'll see where we go from there.
That's exactly it.
Like,
and that's why
when
my
he
point.
Fought Michi. Right to Jimba.
He is a character who doesn't want to fight. He is a character who just wants to get out of this by any means necessary, so he naturally starts by holding back.
But why would he hold back against Ryoma and not Michi?
True say.
Like, he was very in Jimba Lemon, I don't want to fight Michi. Why would he have any reason to orange against Ryoma Sengoku?
Like I said, they needed a basic orange shot.
I guess. But the thing is, this is not a great fight to start shoehorning toys.
It's not, but I wouldn't have done it against Michi either.
But the thing is, if it's got to be one of those two, I would have not bat an eye if he started an orange against Michi and not Ryoma.
Yeah.
And we could have gotten the same result.
True enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. But I do like the fact that someone is finally addressing the fact that Coda really has nothing going on real world wise. Like, what is your dream for the future?
I know, right, AG?
Exactly. It's AG from O's all over again. That's pretty much me.
I guess you could say AG's ambition was fruitless.
Oh! Well, shit.
That's nice, how bad that joke was.
Such a shitty joke, he shit while doing it.
And you could say that Coda is the most fruitful layabout of all time.
Wasn't great the first time.
I don't have another one loaded up. Sorry, Paul.
The joke wasn't great the first time. The second time, not even that.
No, I know.
Evan, go.
I only have one thing to say, really, after all that. But just didn't we talk about Roshuo just putting Red away in her fucking
pulling
place?
Pulling
Zed. Just like, yeah, no, I know what you're doing. I'm killing the human race, but I want to rule that I'm killing the human race. Fuck off! I'm your king. I could kill you with a thought.
Yep.
My brain.
Even Michi's like, oh my god.
Even Michi's just standing there like, ooh.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm staying the fuck out of this.
And that's why Roshuo's my favorite.
Yep.
Roshuo's just like, I have none of your bullshit. Yep.
Yeah. I nuked North America, bro. What are you gonna do with your little fruit staff? You little fucking fruit.
Kill Kaito.
Apparently.
How does that affect Roshuo in any way?
It doesn't.
I don't know.
Roshuo is just kind of like, I'm gonna kill Kaito. Roshuo is like, eh? Okay.
Who?
Who the fuck is that?
Well, then we gotta turn around and kill this fucking Coda guy. Who?
Fuck is Coda?
The guy you gave the fragment of the golden apple to. I gave that to Sagra. Sagra passed on to whoever the fuck he wanted.
Sagra's the one who bet on that point.
I delegated that shit to Sagra. Like, honestly, I don't have time for you.
What was that about not having another one loaded?
I wasn't at the time.
Well, good to know Kevin's ass has a cooldown timer.
Yeah. Anyways, that's really all I had to say about the episode beyond what we've already talked about. Yeah. So let's get... Holy fuck, we're running long right now.
Well, double episode special.
Okay, you know what? Alright, let's do like two episodes of Tokyuger in one go.
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
Okay. In the effort of being, you know, time efficient here, let's just cover Tokyuger very quickly. What happened here? Grin is fucking creepy. Schwartz is an asshat. Zed is still a badass. Akira is still the only good thing in this show.
It's all terribly written.
Incredibly.
That little girl's a fucking bitch and a hater.
I didn't watch it and I could tell you that.
Hold on. Before we go any further, I have a mind-blowing revelation to drop on you all. And Raylan, you know what I'm talking about.
Here we go.
Okay. I don't know if any of you realized this like I did. Okay, the character Grita
wants to form a discussion.
No! This is a really quick thing. Okay, Grita, her character. Do you know what her name comes from?
No.
Grita, shining eyes. Her name is Glitter.
Her name is Glitter. She sparkles. It's funny.
That's funny. You had like three loaded in the chamber for that one.
No, he just reset the cooldown.
You're welcome.
That was his next exorcism.
That's my opinion of Tokyuger.
There you go.
It was shit.
Wait,
moving
so
on.
Then why the fuck did Madame Noir decide, oh, I'm a darkness monster. I didn't name my fucking daughter Glitter.
I don't know.
What the fuck went through her head?
Because she didn't. She named her Grita.
Yeah.
She says the glitter, which is why she
sparkles.
I was
trying to be ironic.
This is why she sparkles.
And why her eyes are fucking super shiny.
Yeah. Yay! Moving on, the show sucks.
Okay, anyways, Akira got a cat. or got a kitty from this little girl. Then the little girl fucking took the kitty away, and he was super sad, which was really funny because it was actually funny seeing him cry.
Also, there was a Kariner fight. Shit happened. Grinna doesn't want to marry the Emperor as per usual.
Just saying the thumbnail for this episode is going to be that the horrifying shot that was Grinna smiling.
Last week's episode was fucking Batsu.
Yeah.
It was a Batsu game.
Seeing Light sad made me sad. Just seeing him, like, because he was sitting there depressed on the stairs, and
like,
then
my jokes all failed.
You just hear Red, though. No, you guys, wait.
Take my thing. Go, be Red Ranger.
One of the highlights of the episode for me was that there was, like, a girl crow, and she just got outcasted from the other group of crows for fighting. She just sits down beside Light, and she's like, and Light just looks over. The fuck are you doing here?
No. He was too depressed to care for long time, and then they just walked over, handed him this little restaurant again. Here, no, take you be Red Ranger again. Go. And he's like, huh? Hey, look, a crow. Kills it in one shot. Just goes back to being depressed.
The best thing ever was absolutely just knowing how the Jack in the Box shadow works, and, you know, everyone just trying to be very defensive about the whole thing. In fucking walks Akira with a goddamn recorder.
Yeah.
Just both sides lose their shit and get damaged. And I was just kind of like, they out though.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that the whole cat subplot, it's like, yeah, he's all super emotional. And then the minute she walks off with the cat, you hear a sound effect signifying the sealing of his heart back into darkness.
No, he just seemed to run.
And I'm gonna go die.
Did you need an instrument?
Also, I love Ticket's just constant jealousy for and hate for Akira.
He should transform into Rakugo. No, not even.
They find the train, and he's like, he's not allowed to go. That's Tokyo Rokugo's train. And the doctor's like, but he's Tokyo Rokugo. It's the train. No, he's not. I'm supposed to be him. And I'm just like, Ticket, you were him for like 5 seconds.
And
I stand by the fact that the person
who's got Ticket, I don't give two shits about them, but he's Mr. Garrison, you guys.
Yep, okay.
Yep.
Mr. Hat's powering.
Mr. Hat.
Yep.
Someone handed you a Sentai device that allowed you to transform into a member of a Sentai team. Mm-hmm. You enjoyed this bountiful power for a good couple minutes, and then they took it away from you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'd be sour too.
Absolutely. I'd be sour, but I wouldn't have constant jealousy. Or like,
oh yes,
no,
you would.
Yes, you would.
Oh yes, you would.
No,
no.
You would
because
form
I'd see
some
that,
sort of
I would see. Oh look,
complex.
He's better at it than me. Okay, because I'm talking through my perspective. I'd
you
say,
know what?
Oh,
if
he's
it
better
you,
with it than me. Yes.
You know what? If it was you, I could probably see that happen.
But Ticket's a puppet.
But I.
Is he?
Don't you dare tell me that you wouldn't try to also become one. Maybe a separate set of powers.
I don't think so because I'm weak as shit.
That is exactly what
Ticket.
That's what normal people would do. Like, I can't have that one. I'll get another one.
To just go over.
And that's why Ticket's going to develop Tokyo Zero.
No, to just go over to Forze for a quick second. I'm sorry. I'd be the Yuki of the group. I'd just be. I'm here. Go. Uchikita!
Does that mean someone's gonna clone you and make an evil monster general?
What?
Gemini.
Oh, yeah.
So you're Mai?
Yes. I'm Mai.
Roshiro's wife reincarnated in this version?
Yep.
I still say that's what she is?
Very likely.
Bitch at my friend going, you're too nice. Do shit for yourself for once. God,
yeah, like we said before, I agree with your theory because A, the Priestess of Fate can control the Force just like the Overlords, and we haven't seen any jack shit up with the actual Queen.
Also, I hate fucking Akira's modifications to Build Dio. Like,
yeah, I like
Build Russia.
I like how we've kind of brushed that plot point under the rug. It's like, yeah,
Nobody cares anymore.
Up Build Dio. It does what I want now. Okay. We're really letting this pass.
Also, can we mention Afro Crow?
That was awesome.
Apparently the crow's hat can come off. It had an afro.
Afro.
Well, you and I both know what crows represent in animation.
Yeah,
that was a cool episode. But Tokyo 21 was really great.
And Leigh and I both know what afros represent in animation.
Oh, we do. They're powerful.
They make you powerful.
Can we all agree that the great... Because they all, like, they all switched bodies, except for Kagura. But my highlight for me, like, two highlights for me. One, first thing was... seeing Hikari go into Light's body, and you just instantly see Hikari just instantly, like... I don't like this.
He
doesn't have the biggest love for Light. Like, you can see that. He doesn't like him too much. Like, he gets annoyed with him sometimes. So, being in Light's body, he would be super depressed. Because it's like, you're Tokai. You're Light. Bad. You're Hikari. Hikari's just...
It's like, what would happen if Kevin's brain went inside Lane?
Oh.
No.
But the best
part... I would have said fleets. So it's not that he dislikes you. It's that he's not a fan of your tendencies.
Yeah.
So if Fleets had to become Lane, he'd be like, fucking brilliant.
But, so what they did was they put these, like, headbands on their heads, and they had their faces on to recognize who they are. It's just, you know. So then later on they go to transform.
And they still have them.
They still have them on. But the best part is, Akira transforms, and he has his hat over his helmet. I lost it.
Why? You're still normal.
Because he wanted to feel special too.
He did not want to be left out.
Everyone else was wearing something on their helmet. He didn't want to feel left out, so he had his hard hat on over his helmet.
I want to be included in the Tokyugers in what they're doing, so everyone else was doing it.
No, you know what that was?
The theme of his character. Yeah. Whenever they're posing.
No, it's
We all just did the Tokyo 6 hand pose.
So now I'm hoping if they make Tokyuger Fig Arts, if they release a Tokyo Ogo, he needs to come with a bonus accessory where you can just stick the hat over his helmet.
You know what that was? That was not Skull.
Yeah.
Take hat off, Henshin. Put hat on.
The best part was, as soon as they destroyed the monster and they came back to normal, he's just like, finally, takes off the hat as if he was forced to do it against his will.
He was. Everyone else is doing it. As soon as the headbands come off, oh, thank fucking God. No, I can be done with this shit.
You know what it was? I just realized what this was. This was Akira going, yes, these Sentai tropes, I guess I should do them, though I don't... Exactly. No, feel enthusiastic.
What I do like about Akira, just his tendency to not be told about things but walk into them anyway.
Like it's like
he literally they are literally running away from things. He randomly walks into scene, harmonica music cueing his intro, and he just kind of walks in. He just looks around. He's like, "The fuck is going on here?" The Shadowline guys are fighting each other? Okay, I might as well get in on this.
Alright.
It's like the minute he transformed, he became completely aware of every Sentai trope ever.
I know, right?
Which I'm not above accepting.
I'm very accepting of it. It's at least something decent in this show.
That's just it. It's taking someone from the outside, taking like someone like us, someone from the outside perspective of what is happening,
and making them this,
yeah, and putting them in the show, and just kind of like understanding all the tropes, being entirely detached and indifferent from what's going on, acknowledging something is stupid but going along with it anyway, just kind of be like, is this what's happening?
That is the entirety of Niji no Akira, and I love it.
It's just someone so detached from the world itself and what is happening, and just got plopped in the middle of what the fuck even is this?
My favorite instance of that aspect of his character is just his rampant consistency to take his weapon, throw it across the ground, and just fucking wrestle a dude to the floor.
Like, he put King Swartz into a fucking arm bar.
And then he went, oh, right, my weapon.
Oh,
I have
a weapon. I should be using that.
I want to see some sort of awesome crossover that allows Akira to turn into Kamen Rider Knuckle. And just
that would
go,
be amazing.
Deko, fly, fly.
I'm like, hey, if Gaim can cross over with soccer, can we have a Tokyuger wrestling special?
Oh, God.
And
I would be okay with this!
All in all, special
cameos from Hulk Hogan and Tiger Mask.
Oh, God. All in all, Akira, we love you.
Tiger Mask for
one
likely.
Of the best things to Tokyuger we need. Well, I was already happy with Tokyuger before Akira showed up, but Akira's just made this show far more enjoyable for me than it already has.
You're the only one who was.
One thing of note about this episode of Tokyuger in particular is the fact that the soap shadow, apparently his plan was to let Grita die.
Yeah! That thing where he had, his power is a severe downside, and he didn't tell his boss about that beforehand. It's like, oh, you want me to switch you with this other person? Okay, I'll do that. Walks off. Ah, maybe I should have told her that she's going to die eventually if she stays in that body.
Nope.
That's your boss, dude. That's the chick that's marrying your fucking emperor.
It was funny though.
You're just gonna leave her to die? You want to get your ass kicked later?
It was funny though. You saw Grita like go into Mio's body. Then like you see her look at herself in the reflection of the water, and me and Kevin were just both looking at her, expecting her to go, "Oh God, I'm hideous." That would have been funny.
Although it was, I was strongly, it did leave a very sour taste in my mouth seeing Grita, my least favorite character, but in the body of Mio, my most favorite.
That was a plot point on Rick and Morty. Just something happened. Oh, maybe I should have told them that this is how that works. Nope, that went awry.
But something me and Raven will both like agree on, the way like you saw like when they were all like in different bodies, you just saw like the proper voice would be.
Yeah. Okay.
They did that. I agree. Well,
yeah. I agree. That was wonderfully shot in the fact that yes, they were each voicing themselves in the other body.
Yeah.
And you could barely tell. The lip syncing was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
And to the credit of all the actors, they were pulling off the mannerisms of the other characters that they were supposed to be at that moment.
And Mio's actor did that Grita run so well.
Mio's actor was running around like Grita runs the entire time when he got switched with Grita. So I'm just like, she's doing the Grita run.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that.
I just like seeing Light's face with Hikari's serious face.
Yeah. Light was pulling off Hikari really well, too, and it was... All of them were.
Yeah.
Like, they were all pulling off each other.
Tokai trying to do the glasses fix.
Light managing the fucking Gendama the entire time.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, legit. They did really well with it, I have to admit. As dumb of a fucking episode as it was, the actors ran with it and did really well with it.
The problem with this show isn't the acting or anything.
It's the fucking writing.
It's the terrible writing. Yeah.
But the body swap episode is always one I look forward to in every Sentai I watch, and this one was actually pulled off really well.
Or you watch Kokoro Connect, and it's a whole arc.
That's the whole show!
Except for that stupid
episode. No, it's not. It's the first arc.
Yeah, except for that dumb episode of Shinkenger where they became objects. They switched their brains with objects.
No, I know. That was
dumb. What was...
Takeru was switched with a cat statue.
Yeah.
How did they do it?
A cat you?
They didn't.
That sounds like a really awful episode.
Yeah. It's a blemish on an otherwise
good
series.
Still more interesting than Tokyuger.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of individual episodes, whatever.
Anyways, these were like cool episodes. Like Tokyuger's really, it's moving up.
It proves, as we've always known, that Tokyuger has been very hit and miss.
It makes me want to kill myself.
I like
next week is the wedding. Thing,
if I like anything about Tokyuger recently, is just how Akira walked in as just this badass character, and they've made him completely, totally OP.
Tokyuger is hit and miss like playing Battleship with a blind, deaf person.
Yeah.
You sunk my red Russia.
It makes me want to kill myself.
I was gonna say.
I watched four episodes in a row, and I was very, very close to a suicide.
And they were the good episodes!
Don't show them episode 7!
For those of you wondering, on Saturday night, me and Ransack pretty much locked Paul in a room with us, and we watched all of the episodes of Tokyuger from when Rokugo shows up for the first time to present.
I wanted to die.
And those were the good ones.
Those are the good episodes? I'm out.
You know what we need to do as a Cast Ranger special? We need to do a live recording of you watching episode 7.
No. He'll murder himself.
It wasn't that
there will
bad.
Be a suicide in this room.
I'll sign
away. Tokyo Kendama.
It'll make
for
good TV.
Tokyo Kendama was cool.
I'll do anything to entertain.
No, I'll sign a waiver. Yes, it was.
I'll sign a waiver, but I will not guarantee any of your lives.
Done. Okay. I accept these terms.
No, sorry, let me reword that. I can't guarantee Lane's life.
You might. No. When did I say that?
I'm the one who's gonna kill you, remember? I might just call it the time.
Alright, anyways.
Y'all just sort of, like, sign a contract being like, if you kill us, that's okay. We're gonna see how this goes.
Alright, well, anyways.
If it gets over 200 views, we won't see you from beyond the grave.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's the episode. Very long one.
Thank you for bearing with us.
Again, Gaim has made us talk a lot more outside the box.
We talked for a full hour on Gaim, and then we rushed the fuck through Tokyuger.
Yeah. Thank you for continuing.
As it should be.
Tokyuger Rush!
You could say we took the express line on that one.
Yeah.
As
we should.
I was going to say, thank you for bearing with us.
Thank you for Kintarosing with us.
Because he's a bear. And he even did the head crack. Holy shit.
Amazing. I hope that was audible.
Could you do it again in front of the mic? Close enough.
I can try.
Wasn't quite as loud that time, but yes.
There you go. There we go. Knuckles. Okay. Thanks for watching. As always, you can subscribe to us on our Podbean website or on iTunes. Eventually, these will all be up on the Ixie Studios YouTube channel as well.
Whenever Dave gets around to it.
Yeah. Do us a favor and throw us some comments. Let us know what you like about the show, what you don't like, any suggestions. That'd be awesome.
Should I go fight Metrolinx again by myself?
Yes.
Nakurude.
And this
yes, and go take the Tokyugers. Hopefully they all die.
No.
God knows Akira wants
don't to. Fulfill Ticket's prophecy.
Ticket's prophecy.
Yeah, remember episode one?
God, that show makes me want to take a short walk off a chair with a rope necklace. Jesus Christ.
Clever.
Long walk, short pier.
No, short walk, short pier. The last thing I do.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.